Hi there, and welcome to the One Pres Pod, a podcast for First Presbyterian Church in Fort Smith. On this podcast, we talk about all things related to faith and the life of followers of Jesus. Join us.
Hey, everybody. It's Reverend Tasha Blackburn with the One Pres Pod, back to finish up on the great ends of the church. And who is it joining me?
Well, I believe it's me. Phil Blackburn.
You're the problem, it's you.
I'm the problem, it's me.
To quote the great Taylor Swift.
That's right.
Well, speaking of Taylor Swift.
Yep.
I don't know what you think about this, but we were joking in a Bible study the other day that sometimes grown-ups, we might have our own version of what teenage girls, specifically our daughter, have about Taylor Swift. We're like, our daughter thinks she knows what Taylor Swift thinks about everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Like, she's pretty sure she knows how Taylor feels. And so we were joking that, like, that's one thing if you're a 15-year-old girl, but aren't we doing that as adults all the time when we make these, like, snap judgments about public figures? And
we're
like, oh, I know everything about them.
Right.
I know. And so we were kind of laughing at ourselves the other day because it was like, well, but she's 15. What's our excuse? But I do think she probably does know what Taylor Swift is feeling.
Well, she seems to have formed a psychic connection with the woman that allows some sort of empathic, what would that be, you know, transfer.
There is a transfer. Well, I think once you hit, you know, the majority of hours of your waking hours, mm-hmm. listening to her music or watching mm-hmm. her videos, I mean, isn't that just the transfer that takes place?
I mean,
Swifties could tell us. You could write in.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what to say about any of this. You know, like, as a football fan, if the Swifties can get artificial turf replaced with natural grass, then I will become a Swiftie. But outside of that, you know, I just don't know, man. I mean, it's a wild thing.
It is an amazing phenomenon.
Tasha, 90% of the time, I don't know how I feel. So.
Exactly.
I don't know how I'm supposed to know or how anybody's supposed to know.
To say that you know how someone else feels.
Right.
I know.
Right. It's like, how do I feel? Well, mostly I'm just hungry. Like, but is that a feeling? I don't know. I mean, is Taylor hungry right now? Does Elena know? I don't know.
I think she does.
I would assume Taylor's hungry pretty much all the time based on her size.
Well, and the show, like, working as hard as she
burns
does,
a lot
she's
of calories.
Burning a lot of calories. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
In all those visits to the football stadium, Tasha, I never saw her eating anything.
Well, see, we now have added to the psychic connection, Taylor is hungry.
Right.
We know it.
So we can keep talking about this, or we can talk about the kingdom of heaven.
I think we should talk about our final, sixth and final.
We've made it.
Great end of the church, great purpose mm-hmm. and reason the church exists, which is
to exhibit the kingdom of heaven to the world. And what I'd love to say about this, Tasha, is we started out this podcast series, we were a week and a half ahead of each sermon. Now, wrapping it up, we have preached all the sermons.
We are
and
halfway
we still
behind.
Haven't finished the podcast
yeah.
On the kingdom of heaven to the world. So we're going to finish it today.
Ish.
And so as I was working on the sermon for Sunday, I won't put all this in the sermon. But they're going to be related a bit. You know, I think at least in Matthew 13, as I was reading through it, to me, the kingdom of heaven really is the seed of faith.
Mm-hmm. Like, and Matthew 13, just to remind us, is this whole series of kingdom of heaven
right,
parables.
The kingdom of heaven is this. The kingdom of heaven is
Jesus
that.
Jesus says.
Yeah, the most famous probably is the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, the tiniest of seeds, but grows into a mighty shrub.
A mighty shrub.
Yeah.
I like the mighty shrub.
Yeah. You know, but there's other stuff too. You know, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who found a buried treasure in a field and then sold all he had and bought the field.
Yeah.
And then the kingdom of heaven is like fishermen who go out and they bring in a bunch of fish and they keep the good ones and they throw the bad ones away.
And is the yeast in there?
The yeast is in there. It's
I like that one
a measure
too.
Of yeast and the
for hundreds of pounds of flour
of pounds
and it
flour.
Changes the flour. Yeah.
Yes, and it so it's an inside out thing. So that's why I think it's best when you think of the kingdom of heaven, it's not as a place, it's as a state of being. Mm-hmm. So it is an existence within your faith. Like you are existing as a person of faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that faith came from inside of you. It was planted inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it is growing inside of you. And as it grows,
mm-hmm.
it becomes visible outside of you.
Mm.
So And that visibility outside, the ways in which that seed grows and builds your life out, then becomes visible in your relationships. It becomes visible in your habits, your feelings, your beliefs, all that stuff. And that, what Jesus is trying to say, is the greatest treasure that we can have.
That's the thing that's worth everything.
That's the thing that's worth everything, is being transformed. Mm-hmm. You're only going to get transformed by that seed that grows, but having that transformation, being that new creation in Christ, that's the treasure. Mm-hmm. And it's worth everything. It's more valuable than everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the struggles I had when I was thinking through the sermon, I thought about ways, I saw paths to connect this to last week's conversation about the Israel-Palestine thing, and it hung me up for the better part of a morning, and then I finally let that go. Probably rightly so. I think there's a really good sermon in there, but I couldn't find it. So I let that go. But I think, as I thought a lot about this, one of the things, I kept coming back to Bonhoeffer.
Mm-hmm. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, yes.
You know, you talked about him some at your bakery class. He's very influential to both you and me. His book, Cost of Discipleship, probably the best, one of the best Christian texts of the 20th century. Bonhoeffer says, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. This is what he means. Now, Bonhoeffer literally died. But
for his faith.
But this is what he means, right? Like, so it's a death to self. And I think, as I was thinking about this, I feel like we undersell this in the church, this death to self. If you start stacking passages about the self, you start to see a picture of somebody who, in the fullness of faith, is completely devoted and focused on God and completely indifferent almost to anything else around them. That's not really what we do in the church.
We kind of give the message, basically, we don't mean to, I think, usually. We try to do better than this, but what we give off the message is, you can have your Christian faith as your side hustle.
Right, that's right. It's a side hustle, right?
Everything in your life can stay the same,
right,
and this can be your side hustle. Yeah. Don't you worry, nothing will be affected.
Right, and so what happens, and I very much include myself in this, what happens is you create a form of Christianity which becomes, the language I use is like a concierge, right? Like, when I need something, it's my go-to thing. And that's not the kingdom of heaven. Like, the kingdom of heaven is not a concierge service. It's not a guarantee of comfort and ease.
Yeah. In fact, in many cases, it will bring about less comfort and less ease.
Right. Which I wrestle with in myself, right? Like, I mean, I'm fairly comfortable.
Yeah.
And so I wrestle with that in myself. And so as I was thinking about this these passages this week, it was a good reminder that a lot of times I think we dilute this message.
Absolutely. It's more palatable to say nothing needs to change. You have to call every part of your life into question.
Right.
And start sifting through all of it.
Right.
At one of the favorite lines you have from is it Kathleen Norris's poem? All the romances must go.
The whole box of romances must go.
The whole box of romances must go. That's a line from a poem from Kathleen Norris. But you look at your life and it's like the whole box of romances may need to go. And that's very painful. I like my stories.
Yeah,
I like the story of my life.
And it's scary.
And it's scary. Mm-hmm. So what I want to take a step back for just a second, though, because you said our great ends very quickly, like it's not this boom, huge thing. The exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world. What is the kingdom of heaven that we see discussed and Jesus teaching about in scripture? And just to give a little bit of a baseline there, you know, he says it's come. He says it's here. You know, he says it's near you. He says it's coming. You know, he says it's something you won't know when it's going to arrive. You know, he says it's within you, and he says it's where he is. Like, if he's there, then the kingdom of... So there is this interesting thing that I want to say that, because I think when we're to exhibit it to the world, I think we are supposed to exhibit all those pieces of it.
Yes.
That it is here within me now, but it also represents that I live in two kingdoms. Mm-hmm. Like that I have one foot here. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to. I have one foot here and I have one in the one that's coming.
Right.
And I live here and I have a driver's license for here, but my citizenship
is the kingdom of heaven.
The kingdom of heaven. I'm supposed to look different because that kingdom is mm-hmm. both already here and is coming. Mm-hmm. And I'm supposed to have feet in both.
Yeah. Assuming as you listen to this, you're in the United States, right?
Well, our audience meet international.
But your physical space is the United States, but your spiritual space is not that. Your spiritual space is not the country in which you live. Your spiritual space, your spiritual self is the kingdom of heaven. And the trick is then you drag that spiritual self out into the physical place you live.
Yes.
That's what you're showing to people.
That's the exhibition.
Right. That's the exhibition.
The exhibiting
right.
That's, is to show that I have right. dual citizenship here.
Right.
And it makes me live differently.
Right. And so this is where it gets scary for me. Right.
It does.
Because the thing I always like to say to people when I'm introducing the Bible to them, like I remember doing this for the college kids at UAFS, and I'm like, okay, we're going to talk about what the Bible is. Mm-hmm. One of the first things I tell them, when you pick it up and you hold it, you are holding something that people died in order to preserve for you.
Mm-hmm.
When the Christians were persecuted, mm-hmm. they came around and they demanded that the texts be handed over, and they wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And those people were killed.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones who survived knew where they were hidden, got them out, mm-hmm. and passed them on to you.
Even so, I could read things like Titus, which I don't read.
Which you don't really care about Titus. But it's there because they died for
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Okay. That is the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is this idea
mm-hmm.
that this is greater
mm-hmm.
than my life.
Mm-hmm.
Here in our country, in our time, and in our moment, our lives are not being asked of us in that way.
Yeah.
But then you don't want to undersell what is being asked.
Yeah, that doesn't mean we lay on our couch.
Right.
And have a lazy posture.
Right, right. And it gets back to then what we think of the church, right? Like the church is not an institution. It's not a product. It's not a deliverer of religious goods and services. It is a place where people who have this seed of faith inside them come. And then as they live together and work together, they make that visible to the world. It should be obvious to mm-hmm. anybody mm-hmm. that this place is fundamentally different
mm-hmm.
than any place else you might go. Any place.
Mm-hmm.
There is no place like this
mm-hmm.
because this place is founded on that little mustard seed. And what you can see in the life of these people is the way in which that little mustard seed, over the course of their lives, tended to, watered, neglected, pruned, struck by lightning, yet still persistent,
mm-hmm.
is visible.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the really hard part.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you come into the church, that's what you're coming into. And that's what I feel like I haven't, as a pastor, I don't feel like I've done a good job
mm-hmm.
of making that abundantly clear.
Exactly. I was going to say, you're making me feel twitchy about about where I have served and where I serve now, and we got a lot of folks trying to make their way, mm-hmm. you know, and I love it, and we all know those of us who are in churches and who love it, and those of us who have left churches, and those of us who don't know much about church, I will tell you, we try this and we fail
mm-hmm.
all the time. This is one of the great reasons we exist, right? And we try it and we fail all the time. And I think in many ways, yes, we try and fail all six, right, that we've talked about. The other five we fail mm-hmm. at too. But I think so many people talk about, why aren't people going to church, right? Why, mm-hmm. you know, they went to church in my day. Why aren't they going to church? I think, me personally, I think a lot of it has to do with broken hearts
yep.
around this
yep.
great end.
Yep.
I think that people come in and they think, I thought it was supposed to be different.
Yep.
I thought we said we wanted to live this way.
Right.
And now my heart is broken.
Right. And you're like, if this is what it's about,
mm-hmm.
I don't need it. Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's heartbreaking because we are not a civic club. Mm-mm. That had a couple bad meetings. And that hurts you in some ways if you've been a part of it for a while. You know, of course it does. But this is worse.
Right. Yeah. You have that little seed in you. It starts to grow.
Yeah.
And then somebody comes along and just rips off a branch.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that hurt. Yeah. And I think I'm not going to let them touch my seed anymore.
Exactly.
I think I'm going to just let it go.
Yeah.
And I think that is a big part of it. I think as people in the American church like to talk all the time about the ways that culture influences the church and it shouldn't influence the church, but it's so insidious. Mm-hmm. We often hang it on these various lightning rod issues, but that's not it. Mm-hmm. It's the idea that the church should meet my needs. Like, mm-hmm. that's the purpose of the church. Like, we lived this in Scotland. Mm-hmm. Right? It was a civic institution whose purpose was to give me a Scottish baptism when I was born, give me a Scottish burial when I was dead.
And maybe a wedding in
and
between.
And maybe a wedding in between. Mm-hmm. That's what its job mm-hmm. was. Okay, that's not, weddings and funerals are not the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world if all they are is a good service. Mm-hmm. Right? And so we could keep going down this road, and I don't want to. But I just think everybody, what is it that you want when you walk into the church? Mm-hmm. And what I think the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world answers that with is you want God's will to be done in your life mm-hmm. and in the lives of these people. Mm-hmm. That's what you want. Mm-hmm. If you want anything other than that, mm-hmm. I think that's something worth interrogating.
Yeah.
In your life.
Yeah. Well, and we've gone in the negative here for a couple mm-hmm. minutes. We've touched a soft spot in mm-hmm. us. You know, there's a nerve right there for us, as you can maybe tell, because we've jumped on this topic. But I would say it's there. I think this speaks to just how important this mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. Just how important the effort is, not the perfection.
Right.
But the effort. And I would say also, so much of coming to church, I tell people all the time who are feeling, you know, in one way or another about church at the time, either through grief or they're angry at someone, they can't get over it, or, you know, they're just in no mood, basically. And it's like, just come. Don't even sing. Don't stand up. Don't grab your bulletin. Come and use the hour, put your phone away, set it aside, and have the bracket to just pray fervently for discernment.
Right.
Just do that. Mm-hmm. Just come to the space and let the church pray.
Yeah.
Let the church sing. Let people around you do that. But let that seed within you, if you're at that place in your life, just pray for discernment.
Yeah.
For an hour. How could it hurt? And oh my, how it could help.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I want to say something about, the pearl and the seed and the yeast, right? Some of these things you mentioned where Jesus has this, just Matthew just shoved them all into one section, you know, story after story after story, parable after parable. And I want to point out, because this can feel like such an overwhelming topic, and it is overwhelming. How do I change my citizenship, right? And how does the whole box of romances, what if it all has to go if I change my citizenship? Mm-hmm. It's a big deal. But what I want to point out is so many of the examples Jesus uses is of these tiny things mm-hmm. that make all the difference in the world. You don't have to be great. You will be tiny and fairly worthless. But what God can do with it is what's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. And the yeast, I think, is probably the easiest to point to. So, I mean, the story is like, it's like hundreds of pounds of flour when you look mm-hmm. it up, whatever an if puff is. It's like hundreds of pounds of flour, and we're to be this tiny amount of yeast in those hundreds of pounds of flour. Mm-hmm. And when it gets mixed in, over time, it changes the whole dough. So you're little.
Mm-hmm.
You are small. Mm-hmm. Is the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world mm-hmm. big? Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It's hundreds of pounds of flour. But just be a little bit of yeast.
Yeah. And those times in our lives when we've seen it, those are the things that keep us coming back. Mm-hmm. That's the treasure. Mm-hmm. Those times in our lives where the work of the church, the ministry of the church, has been such a visible witness to the work of Jesus that we just have to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that comes on a Sunday feels that in some way, large or small. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you wouldn't come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. you may like the organ. You may have liked coming with your parents when you were little. Mm-hmm. You may like the institution. Maybe you like the building.
What if you like the banjo?
Maybe you like the banjo. And that's fine. You're doing nothing wrong.
No.
But there's more to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's more to it. And make sure we maintain that connection to the more.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Make sure we maintain that spiritual connection to the bigger thing.
Mm-hmm.
And show the world through how we interact together. This mm-hmm. This is why I think, as I've reflected on these, this is why I think this one's last. They all stand on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything that we've done up until this point is one of those things you show the world.
Is the exhibition.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Worship, shelter, nurture, spiritual mm-hmm. fellowship, social righteousness, preserving the truth. Mm-hmm. These are things that we show to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And
let me tell you of another way.
Right. They all, mm-hmm. Those are the branches. If this one is the seed, those are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, this one's really, really important. It has to be visible. You have to show it
mm-hmm.
with your life, with your words,
mm-hmm.
with everything you have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to give two biblical examples maybe for language that biblical writers.
Stop with your Bible.
Sorry, I know. Here we go. Tried to give to it. I'm back on that citizenship thing because you know that citizenship mm-hmm. thing is big for me. But I think it's Peter. No, I think it's Paul who says in one of his letters, you know, that we are to be ambassadors mm-hmm. for Christ. And we've heard that phrase. Some of us have heard that phrase a ton. And I think it's like a college group name, too. Mm-hmm. So I heard it in college all the time. So I ignore it a lot. But that's that two citizenship thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's that, hey, I've seen at least a glimpse through a mirror dimly another kingdom. And I've come back, and I'm coming over here to say what I saw over there. To say, that's the mm-hmm. ambassador piece, right? And so that's what Paul calls it, is that two kingdoms thing is I'm an ambassador of another kingdom to tell you about. But then Peter has the line that we're resident aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that means is this is my home, but it's not my true home.
Right.
And I even have some documentation,
mm-hmm.
but it's not my full citizenship.
Yep.
And I think both are some helpful ideas. It's like we're supposed to have seen something. We're supposed to have caught something that we really want to say to this kingdom. Hey, I've heard of another way. I've seen another way. I've been promised there's another way. And let me tell you about that. And then also, outside the ambassador thing, we're to live understanding this is not my full home.
Mm-hmm.
And how I live in response to that should look different.
Yes. Yes. I think that's a great way to put it. And I think helping people understand those dual citizenships, if nothing else, is going to be the way you start. If you've never thought about this before,
mm-hmm.
I think that's the way to start thinking
mm-hmm.
about it. Like,
mm-hmm.
as you think about your life,
mm-hmm.
well, which passport are you using,
right,
yeah. when you do various activities? And I think just keeping that one, your Kingdom of Heaven one, needs to kind of be on the top of the pile as much as possible.
Yeah, that passport.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, and that we haven't even gotten into, you know, we don't need to get into it for long, but that leads to all these other things, right? Like, then who is my leader, right? We've talked about this in this mm-hmm. setting before. You know, the Bonhoeffer mm-hmm. was around when they're starting to write that declaration against Nazi Germany, and it ended up with Jesus is the only Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he's my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And you could put in another word there. You could say he's my king.
Mm-hmm.
So that starts to make some of the romances have to go too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if he's the ruling power in my life,
mm-hmm.
then that has some knock-on effects.
Yep.
About how I live under my ruling powers here.
I think
so. It really does. It changes every yep. aspect of your life if we will take it seriously
mm-hmm.
and be honest
mm-hmm.
before God
yep.
about it.
It, to me, and this is a whole different thing. I am debating even getting into it, but I think it's worth saying. This is why what you just said and what you articulated, I think, this is why the New Testament doesn't go harder against slavery. It was incidental.
Yeah, we talked about this in the Paul class on mm-hmm. Sunday a couple weeks ago, because
yep.
Paul, you've read the Philemon, he sent Onesimus as a runaway slave. Onesimus comes, and sends him back to his slave owner. And that letter of Philemon is the letter attached to Onesimus saying mm-hmm. what he's done. But I would and let me tell you, Paul's taken a ton of flack for that mm-hmm. over 2,000 yes. years, right? And maybe rightfully mm-hmm. so. And obviously a condemnable mm-hmm. institution. Mm-hmm. But I will say what Paul says to Philemon in the letter is, he says, you know, I'm sending Onesimus to you. I assume you will accept him as a brother.
Right, right.
In Christ.
In the kingdom.
In the
right,
kingdom.
Right.
And so I think there is that sense. There's always this thing of like, here's things I can change, here's things I can't change, mm-hmm. But I have another citizenship
right.
too.
Right. It was a ministry. Paul and Jesus, Paul especially, not capable of changing the institution of slavery. Yeah. Jesus, we assume, could have changed it, but that was not his mission. His mission was to die on that cross.
Yeah.
And so, but what they did do, and I think you've seen this throughout history, it was a powerful ministry to those slaves when they were able to hear it.
Exactly. You can't put the toothpaste back in
you
the
can't.
Tube.
You
this
can't.
This
is your brother.
You can't say that in Christ we are brothers and sisters.
Right.
In Christ we are
right.
one.
In Christ there is neither slave nor free. Paul yeah. wrote it in Galatians. That's related to this.
Yeah.
Inside the church, those social and cultural norms cease to exist.
We aren't even male or female.
Our ethnicities, not Jew, don't exist in the kingdom of
citizenship.
Right. When you Revelation, and you look at the glimpses of heaven which are visible there, there is no articulation of any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Everyone is one as they circle around the throne
mm-hmm.
and sing to the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And so that is one of the most powerful testimonies that the church can offer is in here, it matters not.
Mm-hmm. And what the heck does that yeast do?
Right. We've seen what it's done.
Because it can't stay
yes.
in here.
It can't stay
it
in here.
It won't stay
we
in
have,
here.
We have seen,
it will leak
yep,
out.
That's right. We have seen what it did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the time that it came onto the scene, it took 300 years before the Roman Empire became Christian.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a gross Christianity in some ways, but by and large, it became Christian
mm-hmm.
300 years after it was trying to persecute the church out of existence.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is a spiritual, mystical thing, this kingdom of heaven that we're supposed to show to the world,
mm-hmm.
But it is a yeast.
Mm-hmm. And we're a very, very small part mm-hmm. of it. We don't need to hold all this.
No.
We can't hold all of this. And Jesus never expects us to hold all of it. But you can be that tiny thing mm-hmm. that looks like a speck.
Right.
And God can work with that.
Right. All right. I think that's a good place for us to stop. We have enjoyed this podcast. You want to give a teaser for what we're doing next?
Yeah, I think we're doing, oh gosh, do I say the fancy Greek word
I
for it?
I think we might
so
as well, because I'm going to say it.
I want to sound really smart.
Do it.
We're going to talk about apophatic faith. Woo!
Apophatic.
Apophatic faith. And what that basically means is there's a way you can talk about faith where it's like God is all-powerful. God is all-loving. God is all-knowing. That is not apophatic faith. Apophatic faith is its opposite.
Yes.
That we can also come closer to the character and person of God. I say person in quotes there. And the character of God by what God isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to spend a few weeks on what God isn't.
Yep.
Starting, I believe, end of October.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be our next podcast. And anyway, thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great week. We'll see you Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the One Prez Pod. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast wherever you found it, and go to onepres.org for more information about First Presbyterian Church. Until next time, peace.